business meeting with the deacons. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Come to you in the name of Jesus our Lord, and we're going to close the day with the evening service and attempt to praise your name and to cover the chapter 14 on the book of Revelation, who is a complete description of your plan of victory for the believers as you plan to end the world as it is today. Thank you, Father, for the comfort of the scripture, for the guidelines of the scripture, for the authority of the scripture. Thank you, Lord, that we are not at the mercy of some people telling us what to do spiritually, but we are at the mercy of God who wrote a precious book to us. Bless us as we fellowship tonight. Bless those who are in the way home after the choir practice. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful morning and the beautiful praises that has been done, and for the encouragement that we get from the book of Job, that your blessings never add sorrow to our life. In Jesus, we are thankful. Amen. All right, we'd like you to encourage us with some songs of your own choice. And Brother Plika always have one in his heart. 75. If we don't know the number, we don't know the song, we call Brother Schiaffre to sing a solo. All right, number 75. abide with him is like a, remember the book of John is like a branch in a tree. Then we receive his encouragement. I saw a hand in the back and I said, Andrew, are you okay? Jesus loved me. Do we have enough gentlemen here? All right, let's get Jesus loved me and let's get all this 479, I think it is. And all right, Andrew, bring all your crew to sing for the pastor. And this is
choir. All right, well, even Casey is trying to sing. All right, that's good. Casey's going to be part of the choir. I think he said, nobody else, pastor's choir. All right. He's allowed me, and Casey is not afraid of anything. Oh, that's amazing. This is amazing. All right, let's go.
Jesus,
pretty. Oh, so pretty. All right. Beautiful. All right. We got the impromptu pastor choir on. Next one. All right. Tell me which one will be. All right. Otherwise, I will. Brother Greg. 132. Talking about the coming of our Lord and the great truth of Christianity, he lives. Christ lives today. Remember Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, Señor Anthony. 290. All right. Here we are. 290. Be still, my soul. We are so glad to see Mary Cassandra with us. She now can raise the arm, and that is very good. Okay, and any other song you have in your heart today? Brother Jovi?
How about
149? How about 149? Okay, we all go over there. When We See Christ, 149.
Thank you.
pray, God's give wisdom to our brother Greg to check our internet structure so that we can get all repaired for this coming Sunday, God's willing, or maybe on Wednesday, if we can have it on the air again. We are on the coming of the Lord, so I want you to turn one page to 151. And so in 151, you have Jesus is coming again. In the meantime, you look to that. Brother Ralph, how was at Pacific Hill? All right. And Brother Greg spoke, all right? Okay. All right. Where is your foundation? That's true. All right. That determines the kind of building you're going to build, all right? And what is your foundation? when you study engineering, especially civil engineering, and you are trained to build on water, you can't believe it. You can put a beam of steel and concrete on water. All depends how is your foundation, how deep is your pillars on the structure of the earth. Because the earth has water to a certain point and fire and then rock. And so depend on how deep you are, then how strong your foundation will be. And it will be the same with the spiritual life. How deep you are in Christ determine the strength of your foundation, so when trials come in your way, they can shake you but not turn down, because your foundation is in Christ Jesus. So let's sing together, first and second stanza, Jesus is coming again. Bible says so, yeah. Without the Bible, we are lost. No, we're lost. One more song before I. And Senorita Tricia, the very smart member of the genius class. 271. I told you, we have a genius class. 271. Now I'm going to say this officially so there will be no more mistaken. I know a lot of people trying to get into our classroom thinking there was Brother Al classroom. So Brother Al, you always will be in the conference room. That way people are not confusing. We have two or three couples, then I think they return to this class rather than going to your class. So you always going to be there, and our college class will be on the coffee spot, and I bring donuts and cookies and so on, and we have a good class, a spiritual class, and so on. So we will meet here, and we're going to give you that place, which is yours, and that way there is no mistake. Yes, sir. No, sir, no. I want to enjoy the little class. You have to see what they were eating this afternoon. The little ones, they have those fruits and so on, that very healthy food with fruit and so on right here. So I'm going to enjoy the 3:30. Not your class, but the class of the little ones. they take care of you, you know. That is good. Mary gets all these nice fruits and so on, and I'll be a member of the class. And Andrew, don't worry, I'll be a good boy, okay? All right. Now, 271, that's what Tricia wants. 71, 271, my anchor holds. All right, sorry, darling. When your anchor is placed on the Word of God, certainly will be proper. The outline, and hopefully we finish today, chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. I like, again, always to start with Revelation 1:1, which give us a good insight in what to expect in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1:1, constantly, God reminds us of what is in the book and what are we going to read. And the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the mystery of Jesus Christ. Now, some teachers, they make it like a mystery, but it's not a mystery. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servant things which must surely take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And so revelation of Christ about the things that will take place in this world. And it's like a calendar. Revelation becomes like a calendar in the world in order to you who are a believer and myself be able to understand the things that happen day after day. You can study Revelation. I sometimes laugh when I see books, textbooks on Revelation. They said this study of Revelation is from the Reform point of view. The other is from the Calvinistic point of view. The other is from the Lutheran point of view. There is a point of view to study Revelation. It's right here in Isaiah. You move your Bible to Isaiah and remember this wonderful chapter, Isaiah 28. There the Bible tells you the point of view that we should have not only for Revelation, but for every study in Sunday school or in any place. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. The Bible gives us the homiletic structure how to understand the Bible. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You cannot take a big chunk out of the Bible at once. You got slowly advancing in the scripture. So now we go to the book of Revelation, and we have in this last study, remember chapter 14 of Revelation, it speaks on the assurance. It's like a parenthesis, and the entire chapter give you the assurance that God is going to have his way in this world, and that Satan, in spite of this enormous fight against God, Satan will not be victorious. And so God gave us a series of assurance, which I entitled seven of them, and we are on number five, assurance number five, which is on verse 13 on chapter 14. Again, the chapter speaks about the victory of the believer in the tribulation time. And one of the assurances is that the dead will be at rest and reassigned. Look at verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So blessed are the dead doesn't stop there. Is that right? What they said? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. What do you think it means, die in the Lord? As Christians. Now, some people take this, that die in the tribulation period, but it's not really true. Die in the Lord, we say that person is in the Lord. Then you and I understand that person is a Christian. So blessed are they who die in the Lord from this day now. Yes, and now is the year 100, all right? So yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works follow them. You thought you're going to retire in heaven. Too bad. So let me outline the verse for you. Their identity in verse 13 is die in the Lord. You see that? Die in the Lord. Blessed are the one who die in the Lord. The hardest funeral service to make for a pastor is to make a funeral service for an unbeliever. Very difficult. Very difficult. There is only one way you can get out of the trouble, is just preaching the gospel and showing them the way of Christ. Now, their reward in verse 3 is they rest from their labor. Look at verse 13. It said, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor. I want you to look with me to Philippians in chapter 3. It's a very well-known passage of the scripture. Verse 20 and 21. As soon as we look on it, you will recall that into your mind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. All right? And the King James used the word conversation. But it's the word citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible in Revelation 14, 13 said that we will rest from our labor. Look at verse 21. When Jesus comes, we'll transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Some people say, well, the Lord do not have a body in the resurrection. Yes, he does have a body. Look at what the Bible said here. Glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so this body of ours, who don't let us rest sometimes from pain in the neck, or pain in the shoulder, pain in the leg, and sometimes when I run too hard, I don't pay attention to put some inflammatory creams in the legs, and then in the night they get strong like that because your age, you know. I forgot I'm 70, so I'm still running hard. And these work that we have here is going to be completely different. We're going to be in his glorious body. And when the Bible says his glorious body, is no lying to us. It's going to have exactly. So their identity is provided, the Christian. The reward is I'm going to rest from my labors, rest from my problems, because I'm going to have the glorious body. And there is a new assignment given in heaven. And verse 13 said, and their works follow them. Wow. I thought I'm going to rest at Oracle. I work until I die, and then I retire. But the God said, no, you don't want to retire. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 in the passage where Peter tells us about the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to start reading from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, said verse 10, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that they are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will be melted with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. And so we're going to be in heaven, occupied with righteousness of God. No occupying in building a fortune. No occupying in trying to build a new city or trying to do things like we did here. We're going to be busy in the work of righteousness of God, of which we know very little. When we get that body of Christ, that mind of Christ in heaven, how much we can learn. So assurance number 5 in verse 13 in Revelation 14 is telling us that death will be arrested and reassigned in heaven, and Satan cannot stop that. Now assurance number 6 covers verses 14 to 16, and the glorious harvest will take place. Look at the harvest in verse 14, Revelation 14, verse 14. Then I look, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, here is the harvest. Now, they said a white cloud is going to be there. I look, and behold, a white cloud. Now, you studied Acts, but maybe escaped from your mind this already. But let's go to Acts chapter 1. And let me read for you verses 9 to 11, where an angel explained to the apostles that a cloud will come to take the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what Acts 1, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken the things, when he said it, Acts 1:8, you shall be my witness, and so on. When he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You see that? So that means Christ is going to come with, he has his own Air Force One, and it's a cloud that God has. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So how they saw them going to heaven? There was a cloud, and the cloud took off. In the same way, a cloud is going to come in. Now we go to back to Revelation 14. And in verse 14, the Bible says, and I look and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud one like the Son of Man. So we see the cloud, we see the fulfillment of the prophecy, and the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man refers to Jesus. If you move your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, and on verse 6, we have information about that, that the Son of Man refers to Jesus. Jesus is speaking here in John, in Matthew 9, and in verse 6 he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. See, he assigned to himself the name Son of Man. He was with the paralytic, and he said, I'm going to do this so that you know that the Son of Man, that is him, have power on this. And so here we have in Revelation 14:14, we have a cloud, which is fulfilling the prophecy of Acts 1:9-10. And then we have the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ coming down. And wears a golden crown. You saw that in verse 14. Having on his head a golden crown. Now I want you to go back just a few chapters to chapter 6. In verse 2, and in chapter 6 and in verse 2, the Bible says, and I look and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. And so here we have a picture. We have the cloud, the fulfillment. Then we have the Son of Man sitting. But he's no longer the Lamb who came to save you. He has a crown, a golden crown. And the golden crown means what we read in Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 2 means that he came to conquer and to conquer. And has a sharp sickle in his hand. And verse 14 said, and in his hand has a sharp sickle. And sickle is used in the Bible as a sign of judgment. If we go to, in the Old Testament, to the book of Joel, we will find in chapter 3 and in verse 13. Joel, you have Amos 1 before Amos, Joel 3 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And so sickle is used in the scripture as a sign of judgment. So here is then the assurance number 6, the glorious harvest. The harvester comes in a white cloud fulfilling prophecy and then wears a golden crown. He's no longer the little baby in a manger. And then he comes to do judgment. He doesn't come to save you. Already people have been saved. And so he comes to do judgment. Now, where he's going to do the harvest? The harvest is on the earth. Look at here in verse 15. First, notice the harvest of the earth will be ripe. Verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. You know, what do you think that means? The harvest of the earth is not collecting corn and tomatoes and lettuce. It's collecting people. Where do you think the harvest of the earth is ripe? You know what that means? It means the evilness is so deep. The evil situation of the world is so powerful. The denial of God is so great that they are ripe to take place. That God said, that's it. That's enough. See, we don't have to judge the world. I want to repeat this over and over. I have rejected two or three letters of pastors in the area that want me to be involved in against the city hall in San Jose and against these. And now on Gilroy, they have a big deal on the city hall and so on. I told them, no. What you need to do is put Bibles in all these places that you hate. Just put Bibles and let the Bible grow. So, well, you know, the time has come that nobody listens. Then pray because the Lord is coming. We are not here to judge anybody and to stand. Now, if you run for a political office, sure, you certainly you do. But that's a different function than a pastor. Now, if you want to work as a pastor, then that's not your job. Now, if you want to work as a political leader of your town, yes, you stand for what is right and what is wrong, and stand for the integrity of your town. That's absolutely correct. But as a pastor, my job is to spread the gospel so people may receive the gospel. Will time and time, a time on the earth will come in verse 15, where the earth is going to be full, completely full of iniquity, even the church is going to be totally corrupted. Now, secondly, the harvest takes place. Verse 16, look at this. So, he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. All right? I want to show you some scriptures to scare you to death. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. Matthew 13:30, we read, let both grow together, remember the parable, until the harvest. let me start reading from verse 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28. He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I want you to go to verse 49 about it. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the weak from among the just. You don't going to experience this horrible judgment. Let's go to the chapter 25 in verse 32 of the Gospel of Matthew. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And so the harvest will take place. This is the Son of Man reaping his harvest, his fruit, and his people. In other words, he's going to gather his people, but also is going to judge the rest and divide the rest. And so the assurance of the glorious harvest will take place. That's assurance number 6. God is going to get his day in court. God is going to work. God is going to... You look at the chaos in the world, and people are terrified. Somebody told me in the coffee shop, do you know that the Chinese people are preparing to come up with a dollar. And if they come up with a dollar, that they don't need the dollar of the United States, then our dollar will go down. You know, in America, people are so innocent because they've never been under stress politically. So I say, you know, when Perón was president in Argentina, there was 1 to 4, the dollar. It was so strong. Then another president came down, and the dollar went to 100, and a few years ago went to 1,000 to 1. Did anybody was hungry? No. It's just a political maneuver. So what? The people cannot go out because, you know, you need 1,000 pesos for a dollar. But so what? You know, so you cannot buy things from outside, then you produce it in your country. Nobody went hungry. Nobody went hungry. Nobody lose their homes. Nobody, even if the Chinese come out with the dollar, let them come out with the dollar. That is not the problem. Oh yeah, he said, that's a problem. What are we going to do? Well, you are retired, yes, you are on a fixed income. You're always going to get the same. And you are not going to China, so you don't have a problem. I tell you, people think that the problem is economical or military or this. The problem is the heart of man. When God comes and does the harvest, the harvester is not going to look for the American dollar or the Chinese dollar. It's going to look for Jesus in your heart. And if you have no Jesus in your heart, then you're going to be collected. And as we read in Matthew, go into the fire. How glorious it is that we as Christians do not have the job to judge the world, but to tell the world about the Lord Jesus, to live a life of integrity, a life of... I was talking seriously with Henry and his wife today at lunch, and she said, I am so peaceful because I live a life of integrity. Now, that's wonderful. Very seldom I hear that from people. I tell you, I live a life of integrity. And so regardless what the court said, and they are in some probably financial discussion with the dissolve their business, is that we are okay because we have a life of integrity. And I tell you, take that into the spiritual life. Whatever happened in the world, we're okay because our integrity with the Lord, unless you really fake that you're a Christian. If you fake you're a Christian, you'll be in real trouble. But because, see, I cannot know if you're a Christian or not. I only believe what you said. Because the Bible said, love believes all things. Remember? So I had to believe what you said. But I tell you, when Jesus come, he's not come, he's come, remember, with a crown with red. And he's come, and he knows. Remember John 2:25. He knows what is in the hearts of man before the man speaks. And so he does the harvest. And that's the end. One more assurance, chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 17-20. The terrible harvest of the ungodly will take place. Look at this. Here is the harvest, verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. All right. So he comes out of the temple. That means come from God. And then he holds a sharp sickle. In verse 17, so he comes for judgment. Now, the terror of the harvest is described in verse 18 and 19. The angel has power over the fire. Then another angel came out, verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. All right? Then the angel cries out for judgment and cries with a loud voice, and cries with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are full of ripe. And so he said, this is the judgment. This is not an alternative. This is not a try. This is final. Verse 19, the angel executes judgment. So the angel thrusts his sickle into the earth and gathers the vine of the earth and throw it into the great vine press of the earth of God. And then the judgment is completed in verse 20. And the vine press was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the vine press up to the horse's bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Now, I don't know what that number is, but I tell you something. When the unbeliever is going to be judged, it's not going to be mercy. Is our God merciful? Yes, he has sent Jesus. You reject Jesus, then you are in one day in that vine press. Now, Thessalonians graphically describe this, and if you go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, you will see what God is going to do with those who have no law in their heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now that's the style of the world, not the believers, the world in the last moments. They are willing to believe any story, but they are not willing to believe the Bible. Well, you don't have to judge them. We continue to pray for mercy. But when the Lord comes And this is the assurance of the believer. He will take care of the judgment. He will take care of the situation. He is going to make arrangement that everything that happened will come to a consummation. God does, not ourselves. Our job of the church to the very end is talking and talking and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the church. This is the ungodly world. Now, some of the churches may be so mixed up with the world that looks bad. But so we saw the churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Some of the churches were bad. And God said, do not escape them. Just stay there as a believer, as a sign. And so the comfort that I have is that the church of God will continue to preach and preach. People will listen less and less and less. There will be a fake of the gospel all around. But my hope is not in anything else than in the judgment to come. You and I will be in the presence of God. Those who believe not will be in the wine press of God. And I don't want to be in that position. So we have to be sure that we are not a fake, that we are for real. And we have to be sure that this church never stops saying to people, Jesus save. Jesus save. That is the key message of the Bible. Thank you, Father, for the lesson you gave us tonight. It is a sad lesson in the sense that most of the world will become crazy, ripe of sin. But it's a great lesson at the same time that the believer is secure. And that we have a mission till you come to tell people to repent and come into the kingdom of God. Lord, more I talk to people, more I see in people some difficulties, more I see, oh God, the situation in which people are. Sometimes they're innocent about it. Sometimes they are ignorant, and sometimes they are willingly to go in that direction. Oh God, give us mercy that through our message, whether at the morning service, in the Sunday school, in the afternoon class, or in the evening service, or in whatever we do, Father, even in prayer meeting, as we broadcast, as we send tapes, as we invite people to come, oh God, give us people who will turn to you and believe. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have received an email. I forgot to pray this morning for Mr. McDowell. He improved his platelets from 57 that were coming down to 132,000. And so the doctors are very happy. And therefore, they expected that they will be over there. So I already called him, and on Friday we're going to have big enchilada celebration on Cocos and there. And brother Apolinario, you just be here at 7:40 on Friday morning, and we take you over there. It's called the Northern Tribe Meeting, and we will celebrate it together. All right, God bless you.